Good. We'll be in Acts chapter 8 this morning. If you get your Bible out, I am excited, as always, to get into God's Word. I don't know about you. If you're visiting here, we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of things that we could get up here and teach. I could teach you about check fraud, but that's not why we're here. I could teach you about all sorts of things. But we're here to open up God's Word. And I'm glad this Bible is special and precious that we have. I'm trying to say both words together and it wasn't going to work. But it is precious. Amen. I've read many books over my life, but I've never read a book like this one, where all those authors across time and cultures wrote the pieces as God gave it to them, and it was put together in one, and it's all together, and it's consistent, and it's error-free, and it's still relevant for today, even though thousands of years have passed. This is a special book. We've got other books that within 5, 10, 15 years, they're outdated. This one's still alive today, and I'm thankful for it. That's why we're getting into God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 9. This might be a story that you've heard, maybe not, but we're going to dig into it. A lot of times you'll hear me say, if it's a familiar story, we just have to slow down and give it another look and look at it more carefully. But Acts 9, verse 8, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. To him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on him and received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for already being blessed and worshiping in the songs and the testimonies. And now, Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, open up our ears and our hearts. Lord, take away the distractions. And Lord, help us to focus on your word for just this short amount of time. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So in the previous chapters where we have the stoning of Stephen, one of the first disciples, and then in the beginning of chapter 8, we see this persecution that's going on, and it scattered those Christians that were in Jerusalem and Judah. It caused them to go different places because of fear, and that may seem like a bad thing, but it was actually a good thing. It helped to spread the gospel. Otherwise, they would have just stayed in Jerusalem. So in verse 5 of chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria, and this is an area, the Samaritans, or in Samaria, they were half Jews. They were, the regular Jews didn't like them. They looked down on them, and it was a problem. But one of the things you'll see in the book of Acts is that the devil tried to stop over and over the church from spreading. Right, with early on with Ananias and Sapphira, he tried to use greed to get the church to stop. Then with the murdering of Stephen, he tried to get the fear to stop. And now with Simon, he's going to try to wreck the church, to stop the church. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ himself told Peter, he said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are going to face opposition if we do things in the name of Jesus Christ, but I'm glad that we have a greater than he in Jesus Christ. The enemy has power today, but God has greater power, and I'm thankful for that. The church is led by Jesus Christ. He's still on the throne and he's still in control. But we have a problem here. Right, verse 8, before we read, there was great joy in the city because people were coming to Jesus Christ. Look in verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon. Simon, the Bible says, was a sorcerer. He used magic. He used different things to bewitch, to trick, to deceive, amaze the people with different things. And you may be thinking, well, was he doing card tricks or different things like that? I think he was going further. And the reason I think that, and you're thinking, Mike, well, how could he do more than just tricks of the eye or things like that? Well, remember the magicians in Pharaoh's day. Remember when Moses was going before them and the plagues were happening. Those early plagues, the magicians were able to copy those things. There is power, right? There's two powers in this world. There's the power of God and there's the devil. He has power too. And so this Simon had special power. He was able to trick and deceive. Verse 10 goes on, to whom they all gave heed. They all listened to him. They all respected him in Samaria, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Do you notice that? They didn't say this man had great power from God. Yeah. They said something different. They said, this man has great power, is the great power of God. They held him in such high regard. And you think about that. You try to imagine today, what would Simon look like if he was in our towns today? He would have claimed to have done miracles. He would have done things like that. And he would have acted like he was God. You know, we have people today that try to do that as well. They try to act like they're God or they're Jesus Christ coming back to life or any number of things. But he's a religious man and he's in great power, great authority. But it was coming from the devil. And they were trying to go against the church and what was going on. Look at verse 12. But when they, this is the people of Samaria, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So from the greatest to the least, the people that used to be bewitched by Simon, that fell for his deception, that watched his tricks and his power and everything else, when Philip came, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it was like a light switch being turned on. Amen? It was darkness spiritually, but then as soon as the truth from God's word came, the light was turned on. They heard about Jesus Christ, and they knew that there's a greater power. Do you remember the day when you heard the gospel, and maybe you had heard it multiple times over your life, but there was that one day that God touched your heart, and you realized spiritually that there was something bigger to this world. Amen. You realized that you were a sinner, and you came to Jesus Christ. That's what happened. And they were baptizing men and women left and right. I'm excited because we're getting ready to do a baptism after this service. But let's continue on. Look at verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which are done. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John. And Peter and John came, and they, verse 17, then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So here's a question to ask. People have asked this question, why don't we do the same thing today? Why don't we lay hands on people and give them the Holy Spirit today or the Holy Ghost today? Or another question is, what's it take to get the Holy Ghost? And here's the thing, the book of Acts is a transitional book, right? You have the Gospels, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of when Jesus was here on this earth. And then as soon as he ascends back into heaven, the book of Acts is the next thing chronologically that comes in. So it is the birth of the church, right? It is going from Jesus here and his ministry to the church, which is continuing on today. So you think about it, as they're taking over from Jesus, planting the gospel, or spreading the gospel, planting churches, making disciples, here's the problem. They didn't have this that we have today. They didn't have the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet.
Yeah.
So what happened is Jesus had called these apostles and he had taught them over the years, and he had, what they were really guardians of the truth and guardians of the gospel until the Holy Spirit had them write down their parts, and we have it today. But before it was all written down, do you see what happened? They heard a great revival was happening in Samaria, and they called some of the apostles down. And what the apostles were doing is they were coming and seeing, is this the truth? Are they preaching the truth? Did these people believe the truth of the gospel or something else? They were really putting their seal of approval on it and making sure that Philip was preaching and teaching the right doctrine. And as soon as they got there and realized this was the correct doctrine, God was really moving. That's when they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But again, it's a transitional book. We don't have to do that anymore. And in fact, this is the only time I think that they do it in the Bible at all. But God wanted to make sure that right from the start, that two things. Number one, they were preaching and teaching the right thing. But number two, I believe God wanted to show the Jews that looked down on the Samaritans. Remember, they were half Jews, and said, hey, they're just as accepted in the kingdom of God as you are. Amen. You believe in Jesus Christ today, it doesn't matter. The Bible says if you're Jew or Greek, man or female, rich or poor, have education or don't, it doesn't matter. God accepts. He wants all of you to come to him. He wants everybody, and that the church was not to exclude anybody. But I'm here to tell you today, if you don't have the Holy Spirit today, you're not saved. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then Ephesians 1:13, in whom you have trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I love that. The Holy Spirit, you go through the Bible, he convicts, he teaches, he brings things from remembrance. But this passage in Ephesians says he is the earnest of our inheritance. If you've ever done a real estate transaction, what do they have you do a lot of times? Pay earnest money, right?
Yeah.
That's a little deposit you put in there that's showing that you're serious about buying this home or buying this land or something like that. They call it earnest money. And what the Bible says is the Holy Spirit, when you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, lives and resides in you immediately at the point of salvation, that Holy Spirit is the earnest money, right? What are you talking about, Mike? Remember, that earnest money is just a little piece. It's not the full purchase price. It's a little bit of it to show that you're serious. I'm here to tell you that when Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. It's not everything that we're going to get later on down the road, but it's a little picture of it. It's an earnest of our inheritance. I'm here to tell you, there have been times in my life where I've had little glimpses of heaven. That's the Holy Spirit doing that. I'm glad that I'm saved. I don't always feel saved. I don't always feel great, but I'm glad the Holy Spirit's inside of me.
Amen.
And those times when I don't feel the greatest and when I start to question, I can go into his word and the Holy Spirit can teach me, and I can remember, Brother Preston, that I may be in a trial. I may not feel good. I may be confused, but I'm still saved because I did what the Lord told me to do.
Yeah.
Jesus saved me.
Amen.
If you're saved today, you've got that little piece of heaven inside of you. I can't wait to see the whole thing. Amen. But look at Simon, verse 18. And when Simon saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Saying, give me also this power that on whomever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So remember, Peter and John came. They were kind of the apostles making sure everything was done correctly, putting that seal of approval on it. And he watched them lay hands on people that received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And here's the thing. He wants that. He wants that power. Remember Simon before? He had great influence over the people.
Yeah.
They listened to him. They regarded him. He had bewitched them. He had that town in his pocket is what we would say today. But now that they've come to Jesus Christ, now that the deception is rolled away with the truth, now he doesn't have that power anymore. Oh, but he sees something. He's like, wait a second. If I can buy that ability, I can control who comes to the Lord and who doesn't, right? I can control who's a part of the church and who isn't. So he wants that, right? Because his livelihood was in danger. He thought he could join the church and use his money to become a leader. Look at verse 20. What's it say? Peter said, let me think about it. Right? Peter said, let's have a meeting and get together and decide it. No, that's not what it says. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Right? Immediately. He rebukes him, and he's harsh about it. He doesn't mince words. He says, thy money perish with thee. Now, have you ever heard, have you ever watched a TV preacher, offer to say, hey, if you'll just give me money, you'll get blessings in return? I've never heard them preach this verse.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Peter could have said, yep, give me that money. You will get a blessing from God. You'll get sow a seed and you'll see all these things come into your life and everything else. It's a bunch of lies. You know what Peter said? I don't want your money.
Right.
Let it die with you. Let your greed die with you. That's what he's saying. Oh, those are harsh words. Well, he needed to hear them, right? Because thou hast sought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Keep going. Look at verse 21. This is scary. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. That's the problem right there. He's saying, hey, you need to stop and think about what you're trying to do right now. You need to stop and look where your heart is really at. Because God can see right through it. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know why you came today. I hope you came to hear the truth from the Lord. I hope you came to worship the Lord. Maybe to celebrate those getting baptized and encourage those friends and family members. But I'm here to tell you, God knows why you're here.
Yeah.
Right? He knows your heart.
Amen.
And if you're trying to get one over on God, it won't work. You can fool me. You might be able to fool your family. But you can't fool God. And we see that. But then I think we should go back and look at verse 13 real quick. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which are done. Right? He believed. He was baptized. He joined the church that was starting in Samaria. But verse 21 says his heart was not right in the sight of God. So he believed God. He prayed to God, he was baptized, he joined the church, and he's lost.
Yeah.
Amen? That should wake us up today.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? There are, one of the reasons why we are baptizing so many people today, it's my fault, is because I've been hesitant. Because I've gotten a lot of people that have just called me and said, hey, I want to be baptized. And the first thing I ask him is why? Why do you want to? Why do you want to be baptized? Because Simon got baptized and he thought he was fine.
Yeah.
He thought he was in. He thought all things were good in his life. But it wasn't. His heart was not right. And I don't want anyone to do that in this church. I don't want you to get some false sense of security that because you went through the baptism that all of a sudden you're okay with the Lord. That's not how it works. That's not what the Bible teaches. It should stop and think, wait a second, isn't this how I got saved? What's the problem with Simon? So I don't have the same problem, amen? We should be asking ourselves this. But what he tells us is, hey, it's possible to be baptized and not saved.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Look at the next verse 22. This is very important. Pay attention. Peter tells Simon, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." You know what this tells me? Simon went through the motions. He did what he was supposed to do. He heard the gospel, right? He believed, he prayed a prayer, but you know what was missing? Verse 22, the first word, repent. He never repented. Amen? Oh, he believed in Jesus Christ. Guess what? The devils also believe and tremble, the Bible says. They believe that Jesus is real. Now, they're not going to tell you that, but they believe it. In fact, they know Jesus is alive today because they saw it. They believe it. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose on the third day. That's a good thing, but that's not enough. Many people believe that the story is true and won't do anything about it. So you got to believe, number one. What else? That repentance. He was baptized, right? And a lot of infants have been baptized. A lot of people didn't know what they were doing, but they're missing the repentance. And what that means is to turn, to change your mind, to change from a sinful life to a life in Jesus Christ. And that repentance is a godly sorrow of your sins. See, when you hear the gospel and you realize that Jesus Christ, he didn't die because it was an accident. He didn't die because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He offered his life for you and I to pay the price for our sin. And knowing that it should pain us to realize that we were the ones that were guilty. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none of us, since we couldn't live a perfect life, Jesus Christ came. He left all of heaven and he lived the life that we could not in perfection. And he offered his life freely, voluntarily, took on our sins, and the innocent died in the place of the guilty.
Yeah.
That's not fair. That's why it's mercy.
Yes.
We're not getting what we deserve. He's offering to forgive you of your sins and to give you a new life. But you can't have sins forgiven and you can't have a new life if you're coming to him and I'll pray a prayer and I'll keep living the way I want to live. That's not repentance. That's what Simon tried to do. He said, I had a hold of the people. I had a grip on the people with my sorcery. And if my sorcery doesn't work, I'm just going to pay money that I can now have a grip on people as a leader of the church. And God said, no.
That's right.
You're lost. You're lost. It doesn't matter if you got baptized. It doesn't matter all the steps that you went through. It doesn't matter that you believed, because Simon was not willing to leave that old life and follow Philip and learn a new life and learn the truth about Jesus Christ and tell people about Jesus. What about you today? You're saying, well, Mike, thank goodness I'm not a sorcerer. What in your life are you not willing to give up for Jesus Christ? What are you clinging to? The devil's saying, hey, you're not going to be able to make it if you don't keep this or keep that. And you're saying, you know what? I'll pray a prayer. I'll get baptized and things like that. I'm here to tell you, until you're ready to walk away from your life of sin and let Jesus give you a new life. Now, we're still going to mess up.
Yeah.
We're not going to live perfectly, but I'll tell you what, my life's different. Amen.
Amen.
He changed my life.
Yeah.
And I look back and I can see where he's brought me from. Now, I've been saved 31, 32 years. I'm getting close to almost about as long as Brother Preston. And you would think me being saved that long, I'd be closer to God than I am. But I'm not. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. I would be closer to God if it wasn't for me. Amen? But he'll work on you. He'll help you. You don't have to clean up your life ahead of time. You just come to him. Let him clean up your life. Let him give you a new start. Amen? Peter tells him, if you believed and prayed and were baptized just so you could get an edge on the people, you're not saved. That's what he said. And if you came and prayed a prayer and got baptized just because your boyfriend or girlfriend went to church and you thought it would be a good thing, you're not saved.
Right.
And I can go down the list over and over again. I say look back in your life and remember the day that you got saved? Was there a godly sorrow there? Were you sorry for your sins and saying, you know what, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to live this life anymore. And you came to Jesus Christ. Amen. If that didn't happen, I wouldn't get in the water today. And if that didn't happen, I wouldn't leave here without coming and getting it right. Amen. With Jesus Christ for real.
Amen.
Amen. Simon didn't care about his sin. He wanted to continue in his sin. And that baptism didn't wash away anything. He went from being a dry sinner to a wet sinner. And I'm afraid many have followed in his footsteps. But here's the thing. Jesus preached Mark 1:15. This is what Jesus said. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. But here's the thing. Repentance is not salvation by itself. There are a lot of people that have changed their life on their own, right? They've turned over a new leaf. They've quit bad habits. They've done different things like that. Or the devil has tried to convince people that until you change your life yourself, you can't come to the Lord. Those are lies.
Yeah.
You can clean up your life as best as you can, but you're still lost.
Yes.
Because you can't forgive your own sins.
That's right.
Only Jesus can do that.
Amen.
And salvation isn't repentance. Salvation is believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And that's your eternal hope. See, repentance comes first, then salvation. See, you're saying, hey, my belief was wrong. My way was wrong. My life was wrong. And I'm coming to Jesus. And I'm turning around.
Yeah.
That's repentance. And then I'm calling on his name for salvation. Because in the end, if you've done it the right way, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, he said, ye must be born again. Not you born yourself again, you be born again.
Yes.
Amen. Simon didn't want to stop his old life. He just wanted a new trick. Right? Remember the Roman centurion there at the foot of the cross? I'm almost done. Remember, he watched what had happened. And he believed on Jesus Christ after he died. But now imagine this. Imagine he, instead of doing what he did, imagine that Roman centurion, that soldier, watched what happened and said, you know what? I believe that. But I'm not going to get rid of the gods that are at home, the Roman gods. I'm just going to add Jesus as one of my gods, right? And just throw him into the mix and keep living the way I'm living. He'd be lost today. Are you trying to do the same thing? Are you trying to throw Jesus in the mix of everything else in your life? No. You need to come to him and give your life to him and let him give you a new life and a new start.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's worth it today.
Amen.
What happened to you? You remember the day you got saved? What happened? Did you repent before you prayed a prayer?
Yeah.
Did you believe? Did you do all those things? Because if you didn't repent like Simon, you've got no part in this matter and your heart's not right with God. I don't want you to miss heaven because somebody told you all it took is baptism or all it took is joining a church or all it took is this, that, or whatever else. I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt you're saved today.
Amen.
And thinking, Mike, this is a wonderful time of baptism. I agree. But I don't want a single person to do it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you did do it for the wrong reason back then and you come to Jesus Christ, we'll baptize you again. Amen. And do it for real this time.
Yeah.
What about you? I'm going to ask everyone to stand.